Hi, I'm Eric Dama, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's good to be with you back in studio talking about theology and who Christ is in the Christ hymn.
Amen.
Now, I know we had left off last time in Colossians 1:17, where we had first talked about the fact that Jesus was before all things, that is temporally and also in importance. But now we're switching to part B of that verse, where it goes from saying he is before all things to saying, and in him all things hold together. So here we see that only that Jesus was, again, the creator, but he is the sustainer.
Yeah, and toward the end of last week, we talked about the all.
Yes.
And how much that is used in this Christ hymn.
Right.
So that tells us about the supremacy of Christ.
Right.
And also the sufficiency of Christ.
Amen.
And here we learn something about the universe we live in.
Yes.
The all, it says here in the Greek, ta panta, in him, which is dative. I think it's a dative of sphere.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. And then it says, holds together.
Wow.
I believe that that is about the coherence of the entire creation.
Right, that's right.
You know, recently here, as we speak,
yeah,
they've been talking about some moon or planet out there that's bigger than Earth, but might be sort of like Earth.
Right.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't actually seen this.
Well, it's some astronomy. And then they show these beautiful pictures of things that can be seen through these telescopes that we have.
Sure, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so here's the vastness of the universe and this amazing beauty.
It is. Wow.
And we know God created all of this out of nothing. And that in the midst of this, he creates man in his own image.
Yes.
And we are here and can enjoy the beauty of the entire universe that we live in.
Amen.
And it may seem unfathomable to these secular scientists because they think everything just happened by chance.
Right.
So maybe by chance, one of these planets they see is going to have some kind of life on it.
Right, right.
But God created everything intentionally.
Amen. That's okay. Right. And this is very important, Bob, because this idea of the sustainer and provider, which we have present in this text, it's one where Christians are falling down on again, just like they did at Colossae. And it's also one that's a revolutionary worldview issue. For example, you were just mentioning the galaxies and the relationship of the universe. One of the things that scientists have found that life is really almost impossible in the various galaxies. For instance, we are in the Milky Way, which is a spiral galaxy. And what's very interesting is if you get too close to the center of that galaxy, typically the tidal wave forces of gravity will tear you apart. But yet it's necessary to have the materials necessary for building blocks of life. Well, if you get too far away, then you don't have the necessary building blocks to sustain life. So we end up being exactly in this sweet spot where we're protected. Mm-hmm. And so the point is, it's not just that God created all things, but he systematically sustains the universe so that there's life even possible. So, for example, you'll see movies and people will always dread about some cataclysmic asteroid that's going to wipe out all the human race. But we as Christians can say, our God has everything in control. He not only has created, but he sustains it. And so we have a different worldview than our pagan culture.
They don't want to even speak about, in the secular world, the importance of human life.
Right.
Because for one thing, they destroy life in the womb.
Yeah, well
said. They want to say, well, it's no big deal.
Right.
They can't believe what the Bible actually says.
Yes, amen.
And that God created humans,
right,
male and female,
yeah,
in his image. and put them into this beautiful garden,
right,
to till and keep it, to name the animals, showing humans are distinct from and over the animals.
Right.
Which people don't want to believe now.
Right, that's right.
And all of the stars in the sky, you see in Genesis 1. Why would God create this massive universe, this extraordinarily beautiful,
yeah,
and have humans sitting right here,
right,
to enjoy it?
Yeah,
that's right. Shows something about God.
It is. It's beautiful, isn't okay? it?
And really the psalmist does. Wondered, what is man?
Yes.
That thou art mindful of him.
Wow.
Okay, and so we have a creator,
yeah,
Jesus Christ, that we've read about here,
right,
Colossians 1, who's also the sustainer of the all.
Right.
Now, in previous shows, we have talked about the phrase the all that's emphasized here and a lot of other places.
Exactly.
Including right. in Romans 8. And came to the conclusion that it has to be literal.
Amen. That's right.
It doesn't mean some.
That's right.
Okay, so the entire universe, all the atoms down in subatomic particles,
right,
that are beyond what we can even know,
yeah,
because they go beyond our observational abilities,
yeah,
to the vast universe,
right,
all of this is sustained,
wow,
and holds together by Christ.
Amen. Wow, is that beautiful. You know, Bob, it reminds me of in that Matthew 10 passage where Jesus talks about how even a sparrow, not one of them falls without the Father's knowledge. And in fact, he has all of our hairs numbered. And to have that kind of omnipotence, power, and omniscience, it's really shocking. And so we can trust him implicitly, not just for our salvation at the beginning, but all the way through. And that's one of the problems throughout history that the people of God have had. For example, back in the time of the judges, here you had Israel that had been removed somewhat in the sense of time from the great redemption that they had under Yahweh through the Passover and through the Red Sea, etc. Well, all of a sudden, they forget the God of their salvation. And so they think, well, maybe we need help in our everyday lives to sustain our lives. And so they start building relationships with Baal, mm-hmm, and Asherah. And these were two gods, a god and a goddess, that were designed to come together like a male and a female and then give fertility to the land. And so what God was so angry with is here, he's the sustainer, he's the provider for Israel, in that they were going to their false gods. And so that was what was so angry. Well, now today, we have the same thing. You and I have talked numerous times about how, look, you began with Jesus Christ in your salvation, supposedly, but now you're departing from him in the way you're walking out your faith by going to pagan practices.
I know.
And it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't want to serve God on his terms.
Yeah, exactly.
So if God's revealed to us how we are to serve him,
yeah,
only through Christ.
Right.
Through prayer, going to the throne of grace. Through the teaching of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Through the institution of baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Right.
As we were just talking about in Sunday school yesterday.
Yeah.
This is God's ordained, and the Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word.
Amen.
Okay. But see, they don't want to do that.
Right, right.
And they come up with other things, just like in the wilderness wanderers.
Yeah.
When they know the awesomeness of God,
yeah,
because they're at Sinai and they heard his voice,
right,
and the mountain quakes,
right,
and there's thunder and smoke and all of these things.
Yeah.
And they say, well, Moses, you talk to God, we're going to die.
Right.
We can't take this.
Right, right.
Okay, and then what do? They make the golden calf.
Yes.
Objectively, they have to know this golden calf. Is it Yahweh who took them out of Egypt?
Right.
But they say this.
Yes.
This represents Yahweh. No.
Wow.
They can't sustain that stupid idea.
Right, exactly.
And they're judged for it.
That's right.
But see, today in the church,
yeah,
nothing's changed.
Right.
Okay, so we can either have the Word of God like they could have at Sinai.
Exactly.
If they listen to Moses.
Right.
And we can have the means of grace,
right,
ordained by Jesus Christ and given to the church. But no, we want something else. We want contemplative prayer.
Right, right. Okay,
we want Jesus calling.
Yes.
This book where somebody gets supposed revelations from Jesus.
Right.
That's right. How they devote themselves.
Yes, that's right.
More wicked doctrines are taught under the guise of devotional.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It is. Yeah, so this understanding of Christ as the sustainer has huge ramifications. And in some sense, it's really the core of Colossians, because I think Paul's big angst is, look, you Christians at Colossae, you began with Christ, but now you think that he's not sufficient to sustain you and protect you from the demonic realm. And that's why you had pointed out rightly, Bob, all of the alls that are in the text that show that Christ is sufficient for all things. He's over all things, and he sustains all things. So he is our great provider.
Right. And so think about the complexity of the universe.
Yeah.
And that our Lord Jesus Christ sustains everything.
Right. Amen.
And this is stated a number of times in the Bible.
That's right.
Okay. So in him, all things hold together.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote Peter O'Brien in his commentary.
Right.
He says, quote, he is the sustainer of the universe.
Wow.
And the unifying principle of its life.
Hmm.
Apart from his continuous sustaining activity, and then he makes a parenthetical comment, note the perfect tense of sunesteken, all would disintegrate.
Wow, that is beautiful.
Remember, we heard R.C. Sproul say that there's not a maverick molecule?
I was just going to mention that. Yes, exactly. I love that.
It's a good way of saying it.
It is. You know, Bob, what's interesting is you just mentioned R.C. Sproul and this idea that there's no random molecule in the universe. And I remember the example that he gave from Scripture, and I just wanted to share it real quick. It's in 1 Samuel 6, where you recall that for the listener, you had this, the Philistines, which are the enemies of Israel. They had sacked Israel, and they had taken the Ark of the Covenant to where their false god Dagon was. And what had happened was Dagon, basically, to make it short and sweet, he kept falling over in the presence of Yahweh.
I remember that.
And yeah, and then they started getting tumors and they had all sorts of trouble. So they didn't want any more trouble with Yahweh. So what they figured is, well, either this is happening by chance or it's due to Yahweh's intervention. So what they thought is they would do a test. And the test was they were going to load up the Ark of the Covenant on this cart, and they were going to take one cow, which was the mother of another little calf. And what they figured was, normally, naturally, the cow, the mother, will always return to its calf, just by nature. But they said, if we load it up and it goes right to Jerusalem or to Israel, then we'll know that this is a thing that the Lord Yahweh has done upon us. Well, sure enough, what happens is they load up the ark and this calf, or I should say the cow, pulls away from its nature the cart loaded with the Ark of Yahweh all the way back to Israel, defying natural instincts to stay with its calf. And so therefore they knew that, look, this was something that Yahweh was doing. Now, the way R.C. Sproul applied that is to say, look, that goes against nature. This is the intervention of a supernatural God who even has his reign over the way a cow and a calf work, etc., etc. So he has dominion over all of his fields. And just like the psalmist said in Psalm 36, you preserve man and beast. Yeah. He has it all in his hands. There is not one random molecule.
Exactly.
In the universe.
So this is more evidence. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
That was good. This is more evidence that in these verses, Colossians 1, 15 through 20,
right,
all of those uses of all, before all, in all, the all,
yeah,
are literal.
Yes.
It's not some. It's really, literally, all.
Amen.
And Christ sustains, wow, holds together.
Wow.
Sunistemi just stands it together.
Yeah, and that's a great translation, isn't it? Yeah.
He has stood together.
Wow.
Held together. And here's the coherence of the entire universe.
Wow.
And this is central to the Christ hymn.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is.
The entire universe.
Amen.
And this includes spirit beings.
Yes. Wow, they're created beings. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the whole creation. And wow. So the Colossians, if they are in Christ,
yeah,
need not fear,
yeah,
the spirits.
Amen. You know, I tell you what, I'll tell you a personal application. I wasn't a believer until I was 19 years old, but I wish I were, and I knew this when I was a young kid. When I was a young kid, there was a movie that came out. It was at the height of the Cold War. And we all, I think, assume that at some point there was going to be this nuclear exchange between the Soviet Union and the United States. Well, there was a movie called The Day After. And what it was about what life would be like after this nuclear exchange from the nuclear weapons. And it was terrifying. And I was absolutely terrified of that. Well, when we get this doctrine of God's providence and the fact that He's the sustainer of all things, what it enables us to do as believers is to simply rest in Him, to say, no, He has that covered. He is certainly,
yes,
not going to allow any of this to occur. Unless
I thought about that.
Yeah, and so it gives us great comfort. And therefore, because we're comforted during these great trials and tribulations that are even occurring in the world now, we can witness to people and say, you know what, God has all of this covered. And it makes us a tremendously effective witness on behalf of our God and Savior.
Yeah, you know, I remember, before I was a Christian, I was 20 when,
yeah,
I became Christian.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting at the table in our old farmhouse.
Yeah.
Before we built a newer house.
Right.
Which was in 64. So this was during Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the, well, you wouldn't remember it, but.
Oh, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Wow.
So I'm, whatever, about 12 years old.
Right.
So we're sitting there, and my dad said, this may be it.
Oh, my goodness.
There's,
wow,
my dad talking to my mom and us boys.
Wow.
And by that time, all five of us were there, on, even my youngest brother. This,
yeah,
may be it. In those days, Eric,
yeah,
we had civil defense drills.
Wow.
In school, we had to go through drills to know what to do.
Wow.
And there were these civil defense rations.
Right.
Okay, so we'd go down into the bowels of the school.
Yeah.
In our little town of Archer, Iowa.
Right.
And here's all these bins of stuff. And,
wow,
it was the furthest from the outside. And we had to be down in there, and there was enough water and whatever.
Is that right?
Yeah.
To sustain you. Wow.
And so as an adolescent.
Yeah.
I was living.
Wow.
Under the idea that everything might be blown up in a nuclear war.
Wow.
And it was real.
Yeah.
And we were just drilled about that.
Wow. So this is really pertinent.
And they'd show the mushroom clouds of nuclear tests.
Yeah. Yeah, it was frightening.
I'll never forget my dad saying that.
I bet. I bet.
And it turned out it didn't happen.
Right.
The Russians backed down.
Right.
And when I was 20, I became a Christian.
Yeah.
And then started to build a Christian worldview.
Yeah.
Eventually came to the conclusion that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire, but God's going to do it.
Exactly. Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
And then we look for the return of Christ.
Right, right.
And that He's in charge of all things.
That's right.
And so I never could understand, we've talked in previous shows about this.
Yeah.
Talking about Greg Boyd's open theism.
Yeah, how comforting is that?
It's not comforting.
No, it's not at all.
He's comforted philosophically.
Yeah.
Because he can't stand the idea that God's in charge of all things.
Right, right.
So he wants to limit this by limiting God's knowledge and control.
That's right.
All right? And so he would deny what we're saying.
Right.
But I find it just the opposite.
Right. It's disquieting. Isn't
yeah.
It?
And I think, as we said before, some of these open theists, what they don't like is that it's only comforting to Christians.
Right. You know, that is a great point. You're right. That's it.
If you're not a Christian, you don't find comfort. But so be it. Exactly. I wasn't comforted before I was a Christian.
Right.
I was wondering when the world was going to be destroyed in a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah. No, Bob, that's a great point. It's the it's the lack of universalism that bothers them. It's our particularism that bothers them.
Yeah, that we're comforted.
Yeah, that's right.
But the Bible doesn't offer comfort to those who rebel against God.
Great point. Yes.
It just flat out doesn't.
That's right. They should be convicted and in angst.
God may use that to bring them to the gospel.
Exactly.
So, dear listeners, be comforted.
Right.
If you know Christ, you are in personal relationship, a saving relationship, with the creator and sustainer of the universe.
Right.
And that everything coheres in him to this very day.
Amen. You know, Bob, you had mentioned one time in a sermon, this is some years ago, but you had made a statement, Mother Earth doesn't care about you.
Oh, yes. Now, that's very important.
It is, right?
Because Christ is not some impersonal force.
Exactly.
He is the one who knowingly and lovingly sustains the universe.
Right. Now, there's a
trend. And we have access to him.
There's a trend to want to trust the universe. Somehow the planets are aligned. I want to be taken care of. In fact, there was a gal who was cutting your hair. I think that's a great example.
Should I tell that story?
Yeah, tell that story. I think it's very telling.
After I told the story, Diane asked, I've only had a few barbers over the years, and she asked which one. I told her.
Yeah.
And this was a gal who went to the Universalist Church.
Okay.
Unitarian Universalist. Or
sure, yeah.
And so she's having trouble, and you know how the barber's always talking to you. Well, I had all these troubles, but I feel better because I put myself into the hands of the universe.
That's what she told you.
That's what she said.
Wow.
And I said, the universe doesn't care about you.
Wow.
Because it's impersonal.
Good for you. That's what she needed to hear.
You need to know God.
Yes.
Who personally cares about human beings.
Wow.
I was witnessing to her, which I did a bunch of times, but I never did get through. And she would go to the Universalist church and listen to all these lies.
Right.
But see, it sounds good because, well, everything's going to all work out. Universalist.
That's right. That's
right. You know,
right.
Everything is God. God is in everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either
and that's very popular. Yeah. I have right here, as we sit in my family room / recording studio.
Right.
A fellow from our church works as fixing the mechanical things on this property.
Right.
But the property hosts all kinds of this, you know, Buddhism.
Oh, right.
Eastern religion. So he brought me one of these little flyers they have for some swami or whatever. Bhante Sati.
Okay.
Monthly meditation. Cultivate our awareness of self. But what it says here, I'm looking right at this.
Yep.
Meditation, mindful practices.
Isn't that something?
Now, this is also being taught in public schools.
Yeah.
It's called mindfulness.
Right. What is the opposite, now, ironically?
There's a version of that that comes into the church. And it's called contemplative practices.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, in both cases, whether it's the pagan Christian version or the real pagan one,
right,
it's misnamed.
That's right, it's mindlessness.
Because the whole point is to shut down your mind.
Exactly.
And get into this state of no conscious thought.
Right.
And then you supposedly get in touch with the whole, the whole
oneness,
universe, the one and the all, this universal God, which is the universe.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay? And one Eastern teacher calls it awareness.
Right.
And so your mind shuts off and all of a sudden you're aware of your own deity.
Yeah, it's like Shirley MacLaine, right?
So here's this thing teaching that. And in a church, they call it contemplative. It's the same thing.
Wow.
But I'll say to those of you who listen to this stuff, like I mentioned earlier, Jesus calling.
Yes.
He has in there being present with a capital P.
Right.
Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
Has the same thing. In the gap where you lose conscious thought, that's when you become present.
Wow.
Okay, I've written about this, cicministry.org. There's articles about this. Yeah. I've done seminars about it. It's everywhere. And really, my previous barber, the Unitarian Universalist,
yeah,
who put herself in the hands of the universe.
That's what she was doing.
That's what she was doing. Yeah. And I said, no, the universe doesn't care about you. Wow. Okay? It seems like a big deal.
Yeah. So we've seen a change then, wholesale, in America, in the church and in the culture, from theism to either pantheism or panentheism. And yep. Theism, classically, is we have a distinction between the creator and the creation. In fact, Paul even says in Romans 1, they worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. And so pantheism is where all is God, or panentheism, all things are
in. And so you have to shut off your mind so you know that.
Yes, exactly.
Because you gain an experience without conscious thought.
Wow.
Now, let me make an analogy that I made earlier, but an application, and then point to a scripture.
Yeah.
All right. The golden calf.
Right.
They have God, the creator of the universe, on the mountain, in a theophany, speaking. All right?
Yes.
The Ten Commandments.
Amen.
And Moses, who met God there, the Lord God, you know, he reveals his nature.
Right.
And his kindness and his loving kindness and so on.
Right.
And the one who forgives sin. But instead, they create something out of their own hands, the golden calf, say, this is Yahweh.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the created, the calf, the creator, Yahweh, are juxtaposed.
Yes.
Which are you going to serve?
Right.
Okay. Who really took you out of Egypt?
Right.
They know it's not that calf. Okay. Dear listeners, that's what we have today.
Yeah.
Both inside and outside the church, people are looking to the universe.
Yes.
Through their mindfulness, or their contemplative.
It's their golden calf.
Or their Jesus calling book,
right,
which is pagan.
Yeah.
It's not the Jesus of the Bible. I wrote about that. The created. All right. Here's the deal. Our verse says, and in him all things hold together. It says in Hebrews 4:16 that we as Christians can go to the throne of grace, where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God.
Yes.
Okay. He's a merciful Savior. He's personal. He's not the impersonal universe.
Yeah.
He does hear us, unlike the universe. And he does care about us, unlike the universe.
Amen.
And he invites us to come to find grace, to help, timely grace,
wow,
in our time of need, timely help. And the very one who is so great that he can be the creator and sustainer of the entire universe, and at the same time care about you personally.
Wow, how beautiful.
Okay? And so you're going to go shut off your mind,
right,
so you can get in touch with the universe?
Yes.
When you could go to the creator of the universe?
Wow, Bob, that is such a great way of putting it.
It's absurd. It's just as absurd as the golden calf was sitting in the shadow of Sinai.
Amen. Bob, that is so well said. You know, it reminds me of Isaiah, when here Yahweh was their protector, their savior, but he was also their sustainer. And the big problem in Isaiah's day was the threat from the north. It was either the Assyrians or the Babylonians. Mm-hmm. Well, the Israelis say, well, we had God, but is he really sufficient to protect us? So they leave him And as it says in Isaiah chapter 28, they end up making a covenant with Sheol. And God says that that's what they had done. And the irony is they had made a covenant with Egypt, more than likely, to protect them from Assyria.
Oh, yeah.
But what God says is when you make a covenant and trust in the things of man or the things of this world rather than him, it doesn't give you true protection. It brings you to Sheol. It brings you down to the pit.
Yeah, covenant with death is called.
Exactly. That's right. All right.
And let me show you how the author of Hebrews does this.
Yeah.
I love Hebrews. It's in Hebrews 12, starting with verse 18.
Okay.
Hebrews 12, starting with 18. Again, it's mentioning Sinai, which is something that people would have remembered. Of course, selective memory. Right. Oh, yeah, we wouldn't have had the golden calf. We had Sinai.
Yeah.
Okay, Sinai was good.
Right.
Forgetting what their forefathers had done there.
Right.
But let me just read this. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. Now, let me just comment. Now, we know from the Old Testament that if they touched it, they'd die.
Yeah.
But it was physical, is what it means.
Makes sense.
It was a literal mountain that you normally could just go touch it.
Right, right.
All right, all right. They can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and to the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them.
Wow.
They could not bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I'm full of fear and trembling. Now, we know that only from Hebrews.
Right, right.
But we can believe it.
Yeah,
Hebrews
amen.
Is scripture.
That's right.
22 of Hebrews 12. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all,
wow.
And to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
Wow.
So here is these unseen things that we know to be true from the scripture.
Yeah.
That makes Sinai look like nothing.
That is beautiful.
But we have to come by faith.
Right, not by sight.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Dear listener, we're asking you to believe literally what the Bible says.
Yes.
And we believe that if you do so, you will find true comfort.
Amen.
That the sustainer of the universe will hear your prayer.
Amen.
The universe is impersonal and doesn't even care about you, but Jesus does.
Amen.
Come to him and trust him.
Amen.
And don't listen to all of these voices that are trying to seduce you away from your true creator and sustainer of the universe, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well said, Bob. Thank you. Very fitting way to end. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, I really enjoy talking about this Christ hymn with you and discussing these great doctrines. I look forward to doing it next time.
It's amazing what the Bible does say, isn't
it? It is. It really is. Well, we want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.